Many of us learned in school that there are two types of elephant, Asian and African elephants. Now, scientists say there are actually three different species of elephant, and this has big implications for conservation. Al Roca is a professor and researcher at the University of Illinois who specializes in genetics and wildlife conservation. He has recently published a literature review laying out the differences between the savanna African elephant, who lives in eastern and southeastern Africa, and the forest African elephant, found in central and western Africa. We started with how widespread poaching of African elephants currently is.
The ivory trade was outlawed in 1989 on an international basis. And for a while, it looked like it was actually helping the elephants, and there wasn't as much of a trade. But I would say in the last 4 or 5 years, both for elephants and for other species, such as rhinos, there's been an increasing demand from East Asia, specifically from China and to some degree from Vietnam. And this has led to a huge increase in the number of elephants being poached every year. So last year, something on the order of 20,000, 25,000 African elephants were killed for their tusks.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, China has very recently said that it was going to take steps to try to get rid of the ivory trade in the country. But until that happens, really, it's not a good situation for the elephants.
Can you tell me, have we seen much progress from China, or is it?
I would say very recently they started burning some of their ivory stocks, and they did say that they were going to outlaw the trade. But this is going to be over a period of time. We'll see how they do. And the other thing is that there are two species of elephant in Africa, and the elephants in Central Africa, which live in the tropical forests, are quite distinct from the savanna elephants. And their numbers over a 10-year period went down by more than 60%. So they are much closer to extinction than the savanna elephant.
And so let's talk about these elephants. I understand from your paper that the two different species of African elephants are often just seen as the African elephant, when in fact the ones in eastern and southern Africa are savanna African elephants, and the ones in central and western are forest African elephants. And this is a problem because the populations are going in two different directions.
Correct. The savanna elephant up to this point has been fairly secure. But now I think the ivory trade is so high that it's affecting the savanna elephant populations in certain countries. But forest elephant is the one that's really been hit. And then there are sort of remnant Ghanaian tropical forest elephants as well.
How different are these two species of elephant?
They're extremely different. So I should say I'm not the first person to note this. So they were first named as a different species in 1900 by a researcher named Machi. However, at different times in the last century, people tended to either lump species together or lump populations into the minimum number of species, or to come up with an overabundance of species. And they were very often named by the benefactors of the scientists involved, or the names given to the elephants were based on the names of the benefactors. So you have a subspecies called Rothschildi, named after the Rothschilds, or they were often named for nationalistic reasons. So the Portuguese researcher I talked about named a subspecies in Angola and conveniently a subspecies in Mozambique, the two Portuguese colonies. But eventually they were sort of lumped together into a single species. Probably it dates back to 1958 when a researcher named Backhaus visited the northeast part of what was then the Belgian Congo. And he found that the elephants there were a mix of all types, including forest and savanna forms. That is the one region where we find hybrid elephants. Now, that doesn't necessarily make them a single species, because in zoos, Asian and African elephants have been known to hybridize and to produce offspring. We have evidence based on the genetic data that the hybrids are probably not very reproductive, and specifically the male hybrids fail to reproduce. And we think that's what keeps the two species apart. Now, how far apart are they? They are, our best estimate is probably 5 to 6 million years apart. That is about as different as humans are from chimpanzees. It's also about as different as Asian elephants are from woolly mammoths. And there's other evidence as well that the two are separate. One is the fact that you can find very common alleles or genetic variation. You may have a particular allele that is present in 96% of the savanna elephants. And you look across the forest elephants, it's not present at all, which to me is probably the best evidence for speciation, the lack of gene flow across the populations. Morphological differences include the forest elephants have very round ears. Their body size is much smaller. So fully grown male savanna elephant is twice as big. as a fully grown forest elephant. The tusks tend to be thinner and straighter. And that actually, I believe the forest elephants are targeted for the ivory trade because their tusks are considered to be superior for carving for ivory. And the jaw of the forest elephant sort of juts out. And then there's dietary differences. And they live in different habitats. The size of their social groups in the forest is smaller. Their vocal communications are different. So there's all of this evidence suggesting that they're different species.
So you mentioned that the African elephants are often targeted more for poaching. Is that part of why their numbers are so much smaller than the savannas?
It could be a reason. It's hard to distinguish the degree of law enforcement and conservation that there is within a country, within the government of a country, from the idea that you're going to be targeting certain groups of elephants.
Do you see ways that learning all of this about the differences genetically between these elephants can continue to aid conservation work?
Sure. Of course, the one thing that I think the conservation community and the larger conservation agencies need to do is to recognize the fact that there are two species of elephant. They've been extremely slow in doing that, and I think initially it was because there is a hybrid zone, and the IUCN, which is one of the largest international agencies involved in African elephant conservation, they were reluctant in 2002 to consider the idea that they're two separate species. On the other hand, if it causes you to neglect conservation of one of the two species of elephant, then I think it's probably a very bad strategy. Recently, the IUCN website had a paragraph about how the increase in savanna elephant populations that are in southern and eastern Africa will more than make up for the loss of forest elephant populations in Central Africa. Now, they didn't say savanna elephants and forest elephants, which are the two species. They just said African elephants. And that's a bit like saying that if there is an increase in, say, the lion population, that makes up for the loss of tigers. You can't think of it that way. If they're two different species, then you have to conserve both species separately and distinctly. They really need to sort of get on the ball, not turn a blind sight to the fact that the forest elephant is very quickly going extinct, much more quickly than the savanna elephant. I should mention the other way genetics can help. There are a number of groups that are trying to use DNA to identify where ivory is from. In some cases, the originating port for the ivory is a country where there are very few or no elephants. Because the originating documents all say that the tusks came from a country where there are few or no elephants, it means that the elephants were moved from somewhere else. And there's a researcher, Sam Washer, he has developed a lot of methods to tell where an elephant is from in Africa based on its DNA from its ivory. He has been able to get good DNA from tusks. And the contribution of our laboratory has been, we have used mitochondrial DNA. We thought it would be a very good marker because any mutations that occur in the mitochondrial DNA locally are not going to spread because the females do not disperse. And we did this for a group of elephants and found that something like 60% of the mitochondrial sequences were limited, and they were limited to a single country in Africa. And something like 80% were found in one or two adjacent countries. So there is hope that forensics can be helpful. Of course, you have to work on the demand side. Otherwise, no matter what you do, you're going to end up with poached elephants.
Right. But if we know that most of them come from one area, we can look at what needs to change in that area.
Exactly. And I won't mention any countries, but there was a study done by Dr. Wasser where he found that there was a very large shipment that came from a single country. And that allows that country to focus law enforcement where it needs to be focused, especially if you can identify where within the country it may have come from. And it allows conservation efforts to be focused on the elephants of that country as well.
What made you interested in studying elephants?
I wish I could say that they fascinated me when I was a child and so on, but I did go to my previous, my postdoc after I finished my PhD, and they had just received several hundred samples of African elephants, and they asked me if I wanted to work on them, and it was a dream come true. I wanted to work on wildlife and conservation. It just turned out to be elephants in this case, and first thing we found, interestingly enough, was this huge difference in the nuclear DNA. So it turned out to be a pretty good choice.
Have you found some particular things that all of us everyday people can do to help the elephants?
I would say to support conservation efforts in general, to support groups that are trying to stop the trade. And if you're able to apply any pressure to the governments that need to clamp down on the trade, especially the East Asian governments, places like China and Vietnam.
That was Al Roca, a professor and researcher at the University of Illinois, who specializes in genetics and wildlife conservation.